We are an investment firm that manages money for clients and invests in public companies, especially in tech. Software is a big part of our exposure. I have been following the observability space, mostly Datadog, for a couple of years now. I am now studying Dynatrace as a potential investment target. As part of that, I am trying to learn about how observability might be changing, particularly with Chronosphere. Chronosphere was acquired by Palo Alto, and Nikesh mentioned on the call that Chronosphere is one-third the cost of existing vendors, and they plan to expand the deployment. I would love to talk to you about Chronosphere and get your thoughts on the observability space. Could you walk me through your role at Chronosphere?
I had the privilege of working with the CEO as an advisor before joining full-time. I worked there for around 4 years in total, leading the solutions engineering and customer success teams. My role covered the entire cycle from pre-sales to post-sales, focusing on solutioning and implementation. This gave me the opportunity to work with tens or even hundreds of customers, especially IT and infrastructure executives on the customer side. I was involved in an observability strategy, especially as part of the broader digital transformation that large enterprises were undergoing. On the post-sale side, I had the pleasure of replacing many competitors, including the names you mentioned, as part of our deployments. I did this for over 3 years, which allowed me to participate in numerous enterprise conversations and understand what executives envisioned for their observability strategy. I even co-strategized with them on many transformation initiatives. That was my broader role. I built a team from around 2 people to approximately 45 people during that journey.
Can you explain how Chronosphere can enable much lower costs for customers in observability compared to Datadog and Dynatrace? I think Nikesh Arora on the call mentioned it could be one-third the cost. I am not sure if that is accurate, so maybe we can discuss that as well. As I understand it, the key driver is filtering data before it is stored. Instead of storing and tracking everything, you decide what you want to store, which acts as a big filter to reduce costs. Additionally, the underlying engine might be more efficient in general. If you had to explain the biggest cost savings, what would they be?
I think what you said is essentially correct at a high level. Even today, the main model or tagline of Chronosphere is giving control back to engineering teams or operators regarding the data they need for observability objectives. What that essentially means is more about identifying relevant data and storing only the data that is necessary for investigation and root cause analysis while discarding the rest. This concept traces back to the company's origins. Chronosphere emerged from Uber, where both founders, Martin and Rob, were part of the observability team. Martin was the manager of the observability team, and Rob was more of the technical architect. They built a time series database called M3. People used to joke around and say it stood for Martin Mao Metrics. That is how it was known. MDRI came up as a metrics platform back in the day, about 7 or 8 years ago. At that time, newer domains and observability pillars like tracing were not very popular. It was primarily a metrics-driven platform, and logging was, and still is, considered the foundation of all observability pillars. Addressing your question, the platform provides the capability to select the data you want to store. Traditionally, until Chronosphere entered the market, nearly all companies charged based on the data ingested, not on the data stored. There is a distinction between the input and output sides of the pipeline. What Nikesh mentioned is mostly accurate, though it can be debated whether the savings are one-third or 50%, depending on the scenarios. Generally, we have observed savings ranging from 35% to 40%, up to 65% to 70%. The company's philosophy was to empower engineering teams to decide what data should be stored for analysis and what can be discarded. The platform also develops smart capabilities to identify the relevance of data sets. It examines data consumption and applies smart logic, but usually, control is given to operators to configure and define what needs to be stored. This is the core philosophy, and companies began with it. Metrics were the core pillar. If you are familiar with this domain, since you have been following Datadog, the broader observability falls under 4 pillars, known as MELT. That stands for metrics, events, logging, and tracing. Chronosphere started with metrics, then added tracing, and soon after events and logging. Even before logging was added, there was a tight partnership with CrowdStrike, where the CrowdStrike solution itself was bundled into the single pain solution the company offered. Chronosphere also acquired Calyptia. Have you heard of a company called Cribble?
Yes, is like Chronosphere before logs. They pre-analyze your logs and only store the relevant ones.
Correct. Chronosphere was to metrics what Cribble or Calyptia is to logs. It is known as a pipeline optimizer or manager. It evaluates incoming logs and can programmatically select which datasets or logs need to be stored. Cribble and Calyptia were launched to reduce Splunk costs, creating a significant market for them. The reason I mention this is that when you consider the entire four pillars, the Melt stack, Chronosphere's philosophy is to provide optimization capabilities to enterprises. They can decide which parts of the metrics or logs need analysis and storage, and which parts can be entirely discarded. The philosophy of data optimization and cost optimization is indeed correct.
If we extrapolate this forward, does it mean that Datadog and Dynatrace revenues will eventually take a significant cut? It might be years down the line, but they will eventually need to also offer this to their customers.
We have had these discussions in our leadership and executive staff meetings before. It is going to be gradual, but if you look at it, since you track Datadog closely, you might remember the news about Shopify reducing their contract by about a fourth or a fifth back in 2023, or maybe early 2024. A contract worth over $100 million was reduced to around $15 million for 3 years with Datadog. One reason was that Shopify decided to build it in-house using open-source technologies. The key challenge for Datadog and similar providers was how to build this capability without cannibalizing existing revenues. Grafana Labs, still a private company, was one competitor that attempted this, but their solution wasn't very effective. It wasn't in anyone's interest to build this, because it would essentially mean cannibalizing their own revenues. Who wants to shoot themselves in the foot? This was a challenge for competitors. Over time, Datadog acquired an open-source company that did what Cribble and Calyptia were doing on the logging side, but they never made it mainstream. They didn't integrate it into their product as a core offering for customers. When you are paid for pipeline optimization, you risk losing 2 to 3 times the revenue on the logging side. It is a tough situation for companies like Datadog. However, what they did smartly over time was include a lot of expansion contracts into the existing contracts that customers had. The unit economics might have decreased slightly, but the contract values remained stable and even showed some growth. It wasn't the 30% to 40% growth seen with many accounts, but more like 10% to 15%, or 15% to 20% growth. Now, regarding the point I was making, the Calyptia acquisition helped Chronosphere extend its data optimization philosophy to logging as well. Dynatrace is in a unique position as it starts to gain traction. It is a significant enterprise product, and Dynatrace has successfully penetrated large enterprises. Their user experience is comparable to Datadog's. You probably know the Datadog story. Datadog had a bottoms-up motion. It wasn't initially an enterprise product, so developers loved it and introduced it to their teams. Managers then took it to directors and VPs, leading to product-led growth and virality within companies. This approach continues today, particularly in observability, part of the Datadog portfolio. Dynatrace is well-liked by enterprises due to the initial traction they gained with a solid product across the Melt stack. They offer metrics, tracing, and logging, making it comprehensive. I am unsure of the recent growth rates, but I would be surprised if they are growing at the same rate as 3 years ago.
It is around 15% now.
That isn't surprising. One thing we have observed in many sales cycles with Dynatrace is that companies don't easily move away from it due to high user satisfaction with the platform. However, Dynatrace will need to address this as they may lose customers over time. It might be a good time to pause and reassess. Let's delve into why data optimization is becoming increasingly critical over time. When considering the entire digital transformation, especially for companies like Dynatrace, which cater to large enterprises, we see that these enterprises are still in the early stages of their digital transformation journey. Digital transformation often refers to the shift from a single, large Java application to a microservices architecture. This involves technologies like Zendr, Docker, and Kubernetes, which are essentially platforms or frameworks that facilitate microservices transformation and orchestration. When this transformation occurs, an application that once generated 100 data points as a monolithic application can now be split into numerous microservices. Although it is an exaggeration, it could involve anywhere from 30 to 50 microservices. As these microservices are spun up from a single monolithic application, the volume of metrics can increase by 40 to 50 times. This results in an exponential rise in observability and telemetry data, including metrics, logs, and traces. The software architecture becomes significantly more complex, necessitating more observability data to diagnose incidents. Instead of tracing a workflow within a single, monolithic Java application, you now have numerous microservices, each potentially replicated multiple times using containers or pods in Kubernetes. For instance, a checkout microservice can be replicated 100 times, leading to a scenario where 40 microservices, each replicated 100 times, result in 4,000 instances. Despite this, the core observability telemetry data required remains similar to that of the original monolithic application. However, with 30 or 40 different microservices and 100 replicas each, the telemetry data multiplies by 4,000. This is why observability data has increased so dramatically. Additionally, AI is exacerbating this situation, as observability must be integrated into LLMs and other AI systems. Companies like Datadog and Chronosphere are working on integrating this data into core observability data. New companies in this space, such as Resolve AI and Traversal, are also emerging. This is why this framework is becoming increasingly relevant in the market. As large enterprises undergo the transformation from monolithic to microservices architectures and adopt AI, the observability data will increase by a factor of 100. It is essential to have observability platforms that can manage and refine this data effectively.
Based on our discussion, it seems like Chronosphere offers a clear value proposition that companies should consider. However, there must be challenges impeding its adoption, perhaps due to its complexity. I have heard that Chronosphere targets tech-forward companies, like cloud-native ones, because they might be more equipped to implement it. What steps are needed to expand Chronosphere's appeal to a broader range of companies?
I believe this value proposition is only valid for companies operating at a certain scale. Chronosphere won't be relevant for smaller companies that Datadog targets, such as those in the commercial segment, or companies not operating at a significant scale. So what you mentioned is correct. It is not just tech-forward companies. Chronosphere's customer base shares a common theme of handling massive transactions. These aren't necessarily financial transactions, but they involve generating a large amount of observability data. Publicly referenceable customers like DoorDash, Robinhood, and Snap are examples. Although they are tech-forward, they operate on a different scale. I'm not sure if this is referenceable, but one of the top three banks is a logging pipeline manager customer of Chronosphere. You probably know which bank I'm referring to, as it is one of the most technology-focused banks out there. They brought in Calyptia, the pipeline manager, to address issues in the logging space. For many of these companies, transitioning from their current systems is challenging. I was about to mention this when discussing Dynatrace, which is favored by large enterprises due to high customer satisfaction. However, change management is a significant issue. Switching observability platforms is as critical as altering core application code. Observability is no longer optional. It is essential. You need to know when services are down and how to troubleshoot and identify root causes. Considering this, change management has slowed Chronosphere's adoption compared to expectations. They have grown well, but challenges remain. Regarding your question about tech-forward companies, as large financial and insurance companies mature in their transformation journeys and adopt AI more effectively, I believe the digital transformation, particularly microservices migration, will play a crucial role. When that happens, even the big banks and insurance companies will need a solution like that when they start feeling the pain. When you are spending over $100 million on your observability contract, it is no surprise that observability is actually the second largest line item in every CIO's or CTO's budget. The first is public cloud costs, and the second is usually observability costs. These days, the rough estimate is that any company, a CIO or CTO, will be spending around 8 to 12% of the total IT budget on multiple platforms related to observability.
Are you saying for customers that are not at that transaction scale, it may not be worth the switching cost to switch to Chronosphere?
That is correct. When I say switching costs, this is more about the change management efforts. The biggest part of change management in general is behavior management. Frankly, it is not about the technology or the platform switch that needs to be done. Engineers are often the most challenging groups inside many of these big enterprises. It is a significant headache for engineering leaders to make this switch. If it is needed, they will do it because it's that fine balance. When the cost of switching and all the overheads and headaches that come along with it are below the cost savings, there is no need to switch the platform. But you will reach a point where the benefits of making that switch and cost savings outweigh everything else. The question is whether it is at 5 million, 10 million, or 20 million, depending on the size of the company. When you reach that particular balancing point in the equation, the switch needs to happen. The question is whether other platforms and observability companies will have that capability or not, or if it will be limited to a couple of options like Chronosphere and Grafana Labs.
I think Palo Alto disclosed that Chronosphere has, as of now, $160 million in ARR, and that is growing at triple digits year on year. Based on your guess of the sentiment inside the company, do you think they were happy with that growth rate, or was it lower than expected due to the frictions of switching customers over?
Last year was phenomenal for Chronosphere. They probably more than doubled in the last 12 months. That is partly due to AI adoption and some of the foundational model companies themselves switching from one of the two you mentioned to Chronosphere, at least for part of the applications. Growth to date has been great, especially in the last 12 months. There was a period before that where growth was good, but not as exciting as it has been over the last 12 months. I think growth rates will be even higher for the next 12 to 24 months due to the combined effect that observability platforms will experience due to data growth from both digital transformation, specifically microservices transformation, and AI adoption happening simultaneously. This combined effect can be much larger than the linear growth the market has observed over the last 12 to 24 months. I believe what Nikesh mentioned in the quarterly report is accurate, especially regarding the acquisition you mentioned.
There was a period before the last 12 months when Chronosphere's growth rate slowed down. I heard about this from another source. Can you explain what happened and the reasons behind it?
There are a couple of reasons. Logging was probably not part of the core platform. The company had metrics, events, and tracing, but no logging was included. As a result, the pipeline manager had to be sold as an independent product, which is not easy to do. When logging is included, it becomes a very strong value proposition. Logging was introduced about 9 months ago. Now, it is like having a single pane of glass with support for all four different observability telemetry types, enhancing the value proposition of that single platform. This expansion increased the number of customers and prospects Chronosphere could target. It qualified for more RFPs and deals since it was essentially one product. Many competitors still don't offer a single product experience. This applies even to Dynatrace, one of the companies you mentioned earlier. Although it is technically one platform, the combined experience is different. The engineers don't want to do all the control tabs and move across different products and applications. They actually want to come access one screen, and from there, go through from the point they get paged, which is when an incident happens, to the point they get to the root cause of the solution, and probably even fixing it right there. Typically, this process follows a specific order. Metrics data generates pages for engineers. When metrics data crosses a certain threshold, engineers get paged and join a call. From metrics, they start investigating. Metrics are usually linked to traces. You delve into traces, which often serve as summarized pointers to logs. Traces are crucial in the microservices world because they reveal how a particular microservice or service is connected to another service, which in turn calls a third service and so on, potentially involving a second replica of the first service. This entire process, the web of service calling service, and all the interconnectivity is captured and traced. From metrics to traces, they know exactly which point in the log they need to correct. This entire stitching and the user experience that emerges from following that cross-stitched user flow inside the platform can happen. This seamless experience is present in Chronosphere today. When the logging product was integrated into the core platform, it became a comprehensive market offering, allowing it to compete in more deals. Chronosphere initially peaked with the Metrics product over a period of 3 to 3.5 years. The growth continued, but not at the same rate as in the first 3 to 4 years. There was a period of 12 to 18 months where they were building the product. The company continued to grow, but not at a doubling rate during that period. Then they launched the logging product and the pipeline manager that accompanied it. Calyptea was bundled into the entire platform, whereas previously it was sold as a separate SKU. This integration strengthened the core value proposition as a single-pane product, optimizing data storage and cost. The combined value proposition became significantly stronger. Additionally, AI adoption surged during the last 18 months, which also played in the company's favor. Companies building foundational models or using AI where they needed to manage observability found the Suite platform useful. I'm not referring to AI observability specifically, but rather a broader set of services with AI model buildups. These companies found the Suite platform useful. The combination of these factors, primarily driven by the unified product and platform, was the biggest driver that helped the company return to a 2x to 2.5x growth trajectory.
You are talking about metrics, traces, and logs. Datadog refers to this as infrastructure monitoring, APM, application performance monitoring, and logging. If Chronosphere is strong in metrics and traces, does that mean it is mainly strong in infrastructure monitoring and weaker in APM?
Infrastructure monitoring and APM monitoring are traditional ways of viewing it. Companies like AppDynamics and New Relic are all APM companies. Datadog and Dynatrace, to some extent, were the companies that gained an early lead in infrastructure monitoring. When that became very relevant in the market, these were the companies that made IT popular and probably harvested the most from it. APM monitoring is very close to what metrics and traces can achieve in a combined way. It is a method of visualizing and presenting that data to customers using metrics and tracing data. When you look at it, there are two layers. You have the underlying platform generating data, and on top of it, you need some kind of visualization. How do you make it consumable for many people who want to look at it? The APM model, in general, is replicated through metrics and traces today, along with dashboards and reports that can be generated based on it. Companies like Chronosphere have developed something even more interesting. I forgot what it is called, but it is essentially a web view of the entire set of services and applications that are running. So you always have this macro view of the entire application ecosystem, where you know which service is facing degraded performance versus which service is performing well. They have a 10,000-foot view of these services. That is very important because for an executive who wants to see which application is doing well and which needs extra investment, those insights are helpful. This ties back to the tracing-based view I was explaining, like service calling service. That entire complex, intertangled view is visible. What APM provides at a very simple level is one version of this. The typical application performance metrics, here with tracing data blended with the metrics data, can achieve the same outcomes. It is not the traditional APM model, but you sometimes need to retrain your team a little to get the same outcomes using tracing and metrics data. I think that is where APM becomes a bit like infrastructure monitoring. Everyone does it today. You can build infrastructure monitoring, and something even more important is when they say infrastructure, it is not strictly hardware infrastructure. This applies to the software at the infrastructure layer too. If you recall, I mentioned Kubernetes and so on. So the performance of the Kubernetes layer and so forth, which is software, the container orchestrator that runs, can either be on bare metal or on virtual machines. Infrastructure monitoring basically gives you observability or makes it observable for developers or infrastructure engineers.
What was the feedback from customers on Chronosphere after they started using it? Was it positive? Negative? How positive?
It was extremely positive. There are two versions to it, and it depends on the level of employee. Execs are super thrilled about it because now there are no performance, scalability, and stability issues. The platform was built for scale, so it could scale up almost infinitely. Part of the reason for that is everything going into Palo Alto, though I am not sure how that is going to pan out. Chronosphere had a single-tenant architecture. This essentially means that hardware is deployed for Robinhood as a customer, and different hardware is deployed for DoorDash as a customer. Chronosphere was, and still deals with, customers that have highly scalable data requirements. Going back to the question you asked about customer responses, people who really care about the macro fundamentals like stability and reliability found it to be probably best in class. The second aspect is cost savings. Employees always loved it because they were saving money with a platform that wasn't creating additional headaches. On the other hand, the developer side's user experience was not as great as Datadog, for example. That was one piece of feedback. I am not sure what has changed over the last 6 months from a product perspective, but I am sure that was one of the key priorities. Maybe 9 to 12 months ago, things might have changed a lot, but that was a little black mark in the adoption experience. It is a fantastic product, highly scalable, and saves a lot of money. However, when it comes to the developer experience, it is not as great as Datadog. That was one piece of feedback we always received, but people loved it because the platform was always reliable. The product I mentioned, related to tracing and how it combined tracing and metrics, provided a comprehensive service-to-service view or intra-service connectivity and the web view of things. This made it a lot more intuitive and user-friendly for customers and developers too. There were two broad types of feedback. Execs loved it, and on the developer side, there were opportunities to get better.
By the time you left Chronosphere, were there signs they were expanding outside the very scalable cloud-native companies? Or was it still too early for that?
Mostly cloud-native companies, but the big banks were all in active discussions at that point because they were going through this transformation. If you look at some of the big banks, one of the reasons they were considering the Chronosphere platform was because of this entire transformation. One of the reasons they were considering Chronosphere was for some of the greenfield projects. Chronosphere was being considered as the default observability platform for these projects. Their plan was to move into the broader market. As they went through this transformation to microservices, they could bring project after project or team after team onto the Chronosphere platform. For the greenfield applications, they chose a platform like Chronosphere as the default observability platform.
Dynatrace and Datadog have agents that they deploy. Is it true that Chronosphere does not have an agent and relies on the customer, making it less user-friendly?
Yes. What is considered less user-friendly?
Not having an agent.
I am not entirely sure about that part. But it is true that both Datadog and Dynatrace require agents to be installed. In the case of Chronosphere, the deployment model is different, so you don't need agents running there. There is a concept different from agents, which I think was called collectors. My memory is a bit faded on the exact terminology. These collectors are part of the fundamental framework or architecture used by Chronosphere. Some of the building blocks were based on Prometheus, an open source framework. Grafana Labs supports Prometheus the most. Chronosphere is also based on the Prometheus framework, at least partially. It took the beneficial aspects of Prometheus and built on top of it. Prometheus operates differently, so you don't need agents. Datadog and Dynatrace require agents due to their earlier architectures. I have actually heard the opposite regarding agents being preferred. From what I have seen, the lack of agents made it easier for teams to deploy. However, agents do come with more capabilities. They can collect much more data.
Chronosphere didn't use agents because of its history with Prometheus, correct?
Yes, it partly relates to its origins. Installing agents can often be challenging in enterprise environments.
You mentioned that much of Chronosphere's recent growth isn't from observing AI directly, but from working with AI-native companies on overall observability. It seems they chose Chronosphere due to the large scale of these companies. Is that correct?
That is correct. The scale and the amount of data generated by these companies and their applications and services are immense. When you have data at a certain scale, Chronosphere becomes the default option for managing it.
How big do you think the market for observing AI will be? I know Dynatrace is starting to discuss it, but as LLMs become more popular, how significant do you think that market will be?
I believe it will be quite substantial. I don't have a specific number to offer, but it is going to be massive. No doubt about it. Even if you consider the big enterprises, they are all moving in that direction, which opens up a lot more AI-related observability opportunities. I am not sure whether this will add $10 billion to the total addressable market, or just tens of millions, or if it will reach hundreds of millions, or even hundreds of billions. I really don't know how large the market can grow, but there is definitely an opportunity, likely in the billions.
Between Dynatrace and Datadog, if we consider who is more at risk from Chronosphere, it sounds like you would say Datadog.
I would actually say
Dynatrace.
Can you explain?
Datadog still has significant developer-based traction, and the bottom-up motion works well for them. Datadog has expanded beyond just being an observability company. They now have security products and are investing heavily in that area. As someone mentioned, it is about moving from just the CISO's budget to the CISO plus CTO or CIO's budget. Similarly, Datadog has expanded from the CIO and CTO budget to include the CISO's budget as well. The logging market is huge, encompassing both observability logging and SIEM logging, which is used for security observability. Palo Alto doesn't have a presence there. Regarding who is more impacted, Datadog has balanced its coverage between traditional observability and security observability. They offer the same product for both areas, whereas Dynatrace remains a very DevOps-focused platform. Dynatrace is present in large enterprises, but lacks a loyal developer base to push the product extensively. It is a great product without scalability issues, and enterprises love it. However, unless the platform evolves to adapt to market realities, they are at risk. I am not familiar with their current product roadmap, as I haven't looked at the company closely recently, and I haven't seen any major announcements from them. It might still be in development, so I am unsure of their direction.
Lastly, with Palo Alto acquiring Chronosphere, they will use their sales force to sell and push this to their clients. How successful do you think this push will be in terms of the additional support from Palo Alto compared to what Chronosphere could have done on its own?
It will significantly benefit Chronosphere. I wouldn't be surprised if they triple their growth this year because Palo Alto has the market reach to introduce it to many more customers. As a startup, one of the challenges every company faces is deciding which customers to target. You need to be very selective about your ideal customer profile and the segment you want to invest in. Now, with a big company like Palo Alto and their sales force, which can reach thousands of customers at once, assuming the product enablement is done correctly, there is a massive opportunity. I believe the combination of Chronosphere's technical capability and Palo Alto's field execution strength will yield results that are exponentially greater than if Chronosphere were to operate independently.
Between Dynatrace and Datadog, which stock would you rather buy?
Datadog.
What about Dynatrace? Are you optimistic about the company?
I am. I love the company. It has a really good product. However, it will depend on the changes and adaptations the company makes in response to market realities. It is a great product and well-respected. Dynatrace is probably one of the most respected products within companies. I haven't seen any information about customer churn. I would be surprised if Dynatrace has lost any major clients or revenue in recent years. One reason I can say this with confidence is because I haven't seen Dynatrace in many displacements we have done in our customer and prospect base. The question was never about replacing Dynatrace with Chronosphere. It was more about replacing other platforms, including Datadog, with Chronosphere. This indicates an extremely loyal customer base. There is another side to the story. Most places I know that use Dynatrace also have a second observability platform. This platform caters to specific use cases, teams, or is part of the observability stack. Dynatrace wasn't the default platform for logging, for example. They excelled in metrics and tracing, but logging was often handled by Splunk or even Datadog in some cases. They faced the challenge of not being the single pane of glass across the entire observability stack. Regarding their logging, I don't know if there are publicly available numbers for their logging revenues, but I would be surprised if their logging revenue is substantial.
When you mentioned Dynatrace facing market realities, are you referring to the explosion of microservices and the resulting need to change pricing?
Yes, exactly. Plus the AI adoption related to data growth as well. Those are the market realities. Transformation is happening as companies move from monolithic Java applications to microservices. The platforms need a model that is economically viable for customers. It is not just about economics. Performance challenges can arise over time too. For instance, if a big bank like JPMC or Bank of America undertakes such a transformation, can the platform support that scale? That is to be determined. The scale until that point was based on a very different architecture.